remain widespread and are still too high before the county can lighten up on mask wearing. This report brought to you by Duthie Power Services. The Antelope Valley Fair has been canceled. The event was scheduled to begin October 1st at the AV Fairgrounds in Lancaster. However, organizers said the new coronavirus mandates from the LA County Department of Public Health caused too many complications. Effective October 7th, outdoor events with more than 10,000 people must require proof of vaccination or a negative COVID-19 test within 72 hours. An FDA advisory panel has voted to recommend a third Pfizer shot for emergency use authorization, but Dr. Anthony Fauci says the recommendation is only for those people over the age of 65 or those with underlying medical conditions.
Had said right from the beginning that this would be contingent upon the examination of all of the data that the FDA accumulated that would be discussed with their advisory committee, and that's exactly what happened.
The Biden administration's original start date of September 20th will need to be pushed back. Some American citizens left behind in Afghanistan have made it out on board an evacuation flight. ABC's Mary Alice Parks says the small group left Friday.
The State Department said that another Qatari Airways charter flight had left Kabul with 28 citizens and 7 U.S. permanent residents on board.
The State Department spokesperson thanked the Qataris for their continued cooperation. The new Taliban government in Afghanistan has announced more restrictions for women. The interim mayor of Afghanistan's capital says female employees in the Kabul city government have been told to stay home unless their jobs cannot be filled by men. The government has issued several decrees in recent days, rolling back the rights of girls and women. And the U.S. has begun flying some migrants at the border facility in Texas back to Haiti. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has signed a $2 billion bill to increase border security in his state. Abbott said Texas is stepping up to do what the federal government is supposed to do. The bill will fund state troopers and National Guard members to police the border and possibly build a fence. More than 10,000 migrants are camped out under a bridge in Del Rio, Texas, waiting to be processed by the Border Patrol. And Sean Penn is trying to help people in Georgia get vaccinated against COVID-19.
A disaster relief organization founded by actor and activist Sean Penn is boosting Georgia's drive to inoculate people against COVID-19. CORE, that's Community Organized Relief Effort, has offered vaccines at hundreds of pop-up clinics around the state, including schools, farmers markets, and meat plants. But it's had few takers at some of its sites, a likely reflection, at least in part, of skepticism about vaccines in Georgia. Only 46% of that state is fully vaccinated, well below the national average. But CORE says it has no plans to leave the state anytime soon. Mark Rahner, KFI News.
From the Southern California Toyota Dealers Traffic Center, we make it easy. There is some trouble on the 101.
There sure is. At Westlake Village on the 101 North at Ladero Canyon Road, that's a motorcycle that's still stalled over there in the center divider. Also, downtown LA on the 101 North between 1st Street and the 110, that's stopped traffic in that area. And downtown LA on the 10 West at San Pedro Street, it's a crash block in the carpool lane, and you're stacking up from the 60. And then Diamond Bar, the 60 East after Diamond Bar Boulevard, it's a crash that's been moved to the right shoulder by CHP. And also in Riverside on the 60 East at Market Street, that's a brush fire that's been reported off the right shoulder. KFI in the Sky helps get you there faster. I'm Zachary Tagan.
If you've been injured, you gotta call Sweet James.
A slight cool down next.
If you thought you missed the lowest mortgage rates in history, you're in luck because they're back. Mortgage rates are near historic lows again. So if you have a mortgage, refinance it and forget it. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Network Capital Funding is offering a low 15-year fixed rate at 1.75% with a 1.94 APR. Incredible! Network Capital has built a reputation for saving people time and money with our unique process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 15-year fixed rate is 1.75% with a 1.94 APR. Now, second chances don't come often, and you may never see these rates again. So, refinance. Finance it and forget it. That's a 15-year fixed at 1.75%. Yes, 1.75% with a 1.94 APR. Call the experts at Network Capital now. Call 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448.
NMLS ID 11712. Not licensed in all states. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the financing law. Number 603D787. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and may not be available at rate lock. Discount points may apply. Subject to credit approval. Call 800-500-1448 for additional cost information.
Southland weather from KFI. Tonight will be clear. Lows are in the 60s. Tomorrow we'll see highs in the upper 60s to mid 70s at the beaches. Low to mid 80s for Metro LAOC. It'll be around 90 if you're in the valleys and mid 90s for the Inland Empire. Tuesday, we'll see pretty much the same weather around the Southland, except for slightly cooler weather in the San Gabriel Valley. And then on Wednesday, that's the first official day of fall. Hail to the pumpkin spice. Right now, Hacienda Heights 79, Burbank 76, Costa Mesa 72, and in Redlands 85 degrees. We lead local live from the KFI 24-hour newsroom. I'm Andrew Caravella.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
KFI AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. You know, you can follow me on social media anywhere at Dr. Wendy Walsh, wherever you are alive online, whether it's YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, what else is out there? LinkedIn.
TikTok, right?
TikTok. Oh, my goodness. So I posted a video just before the show started called Does Your Partner Want to Hook Up with Other People? And as I'm watching the show, it is starting to build. So we have about 25,000 views so far. And a few thousand views every segment. So I'm going to see that one explode. My last one was three things about men's psychology. I'll tell you, you don't have to go onto TikTok. That has 1.6 million views now is men don't fall in love through sex. Mm-hmm. They fall in love with trust. And they don't trust a woman who gives them sex early. That's number one. Number two is men actually don't fall in love because they've met the one. That's a women thing. Men hit a state of readiness in their life and pretty much take whoever's up at bat. And the third thing is the women who get commitment are the ones that ask for it. And when they don't get commitment, they're not afraid to dump a guy because they know that they will find the right one at the right time, which has to do with some of these myths about love that I want to get to. So another myth that's very common is if you ask for something in your relationship, you must be weak. No, no, no. You see, relationships, the power position in relationships is vulnerability. Being able to be authentic and vulnerable. You know, you can judge any couple you want on the planet, but you don't see what happens at 3 a.m. when somebody's crying on somebody's chest and somebody's holding them and consoling them. That is the glue, folks. It's the security in the secure attachment. And yeah, you're not weak if you explain what you need and how you're hurting. Here's another myth. Well, if they're my mate, they should support all of my choices because they signed up and they said they'd marry me. They said I do. So they got to get on the program. No. You see, when you're in a relationship, you know what's going to survive is the relationship. Think of a relationship as a Venn diagram where you've got two circles overlapping. You've got two autonomous people and then something in the middle called the relationship. That's the overlap. And that is a war zone for the two separate individuals. And you guys are going to come to agreements and you're not going to win all the time. They do not have to agree with you. They don't have to support your decisions. They can even lay down a full-on ultimatum that says, if you dare do this, you're out. It's over. This is a boundary for me. Which, let me bring up boundaries. There are people out there who believe that if they set boundaries, that their partner will leave them or their partner will be angry. But I want to tell you this, and especially when it comes to dating relationships, boundaries are sexy. The word no is the world's biggest aphrodisiac. I'm not talking in a sexual sense. I mean an emotional aphrodisiac. When somebody says, no, I can't do that. I won't do that. That's not my policy. I love to say that. No, that's not my policy. That's not right for me. The other person goes, oh, this person knows themselves. This person respects themselves. They have self-confidence. This is cool. Boundaries are sexy. All right, a few more myths about love. Some of these totally disproven by science. How about this one? That women fall in love first, and that women are more romantic, and that women say, I love you first? Nope. According to Match.com Single in American study, which was run not just by people who use Match.com across America, financed by them, the famous biological anthropologist Helen Fisher says that they, of course, men fall in love faster because they fall in love with their eyes. They fall in love with the woman who appeals to them physically, and it triggers romantic love faster. And actually, men are more likely to report saying the words, I love you, faster. Now, here's one of my favorite ones, and this is probably why the video that I just posted about swingers, polyamory, whatever, whatever, if your partner wants to step out on you. People believe that monogamy is a social construction. I hear this all day long. Monogamy was invented by people. It's just social. It's part of patriarchy. It's not natural for our species. So you're imagining back in our hunter-gatherer past, we were able to raise children safely in little encampments as we were all just bed hopping with each other, wild hotbeds of craziness. No, monogamy evolved in our species. It was selected for because it's the best nest that we have for children to keep them safe. If you have two people who both have a biological interest in the little people in that house, those little people are going to do better. They're going to go on to raise more kids who also have the monogamous gene because that's what they witnessed, that's what they learned. And also our genes are partly created by environment. Now, I will say we have the widest range of sexual behavior of any primate species, but the vast majority, like 80% of humans, are monogamous. Now, some of that doesn't mean for life. Remember, the big change has been that our life expectancies have increased. So when till death do us part was invented, death was pretty imminent. People were dying in wars, fights, diseases. Yeah, they were all anti-vaxxers because there was no such thing as vaccines. And as a result, they died early. Life expectancy a few hundred years ago was the age of 37. And so now, when we can live well into our 70s and even into our 80s and some people into their 90s, the thought of having one partner from your 20s onward, you know, we change so much across a lifespan. That thought is a little nutty. So most people, even the most monogamous of humans, may have two or three stints of monogamy in their lifespan. Okay, I love this study. Myth number whatever I'm on, I can't remember. Intense romantic love lasts only a year or two. Well, they used to think that, right? Because the early hormones created with lust that happen in the early stages, your brain sort of gets accustomed to that cocktail of neurohormones that include norepinephrine, dopamine, oxytocin, right? However, they put people's brains, well, brains inside bodies, they put people's bodies, heads, inside MRI machines. They asked them to think of their lover. They showed them pictures of their lover. And they found that there are a small group of people decades into their relationship that the love centers in their brain light up the same as somebody who's a newlywed or somebody who's in the throes of hot lust of an early relationship. Now, here's the interesting thing about this study, that those particular people who feel intense romantic love decades into their relationship also had very small anxiety centers in their brain. Makes so much sense to me. So those with an anxious attachment style who are really in love with longing, not in love with love, are going to cause all kinds of drama. They're going to be hyper jealous. They're going to see, you know, threats of abandonment that aren't even there. They're going to cause drama, explosion in their relationships, and they're not going to be able to stay together. And if they do, and then the people with the avoidance style, of course, don't even, they're not even feeling a lot of love. So deep romantic love can last forever. This is my favorite thing about science. You can start to look at love, look at brains. All right, speaking of love and lovers, when we come back, the very sad, heartbreaking story of Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie that has been dominating the news. I've done a little research on their relationship, and I'll explain when we come back. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Andrew Caravella's got the news for us.
The FBI says a body that matches the description of Gabby Petito has been found in Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming. The 73rd Primetime Emmy Awards have just started here in L.A. Cedric the Entertainer is hosting the awards tonight. And officials say two kids allegedly abducted by their father in Riverside County have been found safe in Modesto. We will take a look at the 405 freeway next.
It's a great day at Mike Diamond Plumbing. How can I make you smile?
By getting my hot water back.
My shower is spitting icicles.
I could get a Smell Good plumber out there today.
Awesome. How much is the house call?
Are you a residential homeowner?
Yes.
Does your hot water heater have a tank or is it tankless?
It has a tank.
Then the house call is free during normal business hours.
But this is Saturday.
Not a problem. We're open 7 days a week.
Then by all means, send a Smell Good plumber my way.
KFI AM 640, you have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. If you are looking for relationship advice, I will be taking your calls around 630. The number at 630 is 1-800-520-1KFI. That's 1-800-520-1534. I will give it out later when we get there. But I love to hear from you, my listeners. A lot of you have been already posting your questions on private messages on Instagram. I've been going through those. I've collected about 20 of them so far. So if you're shy, you can send it over social media as well. All right. I do want to talk about the missing lovers, Gabby Petito, age 22, and her fiancé, Brian Laundrie, age 23, that has been dominating the news. The latest news, as you've heard from Andrew Caravella, is that a body has been found in Grand Tetons of Wyoming, and the body seems to match the description of Gabby Petito. Of course, full forensics is not back yet. Our heart goes out to her family. You know, ladies, I want to remind you that while all genders, your choice of a romantic partner can dictate where you live, who you hang with, your income, your health habits are highly contagious within couples. But ladies, for women, your choice of romantic mate can be a life or death decision. While, you know, I talked about last week the darker side of love, stalking, domestic violence, sexual assault. And while the vast majority of men will never hurt you, there is a small percentage that have the potential given the situation. And when I say it's a life and death experiment, I want to remind you that 90% of women who are killed by an intimate partner. 90%. So there you put your heart in there, and especially in the early stages of a relationship, it is so crucial that women do the assessing. And I know how hard it is these days. I've mentioned it over and over. I'll say it again. We have right now an oversupply of successful women in the mating marketplace. And women, because of our information age that we're in, and women more being uniquely suited to extracting resources from the environment, that means making money, women are burning up a big chunk of their fertility window, getting higher education and building their careers before they decide to settle down and procreate. I will pause and remind you that about 80% of humans procreate and have biological children. The other 20% function as alloparents. And so that's perfectly okay to not reproduce. It's perfectly okay. However, if you do want to reproduce, as I mentioned, it helps if you got somebody who has a biological interest in that child, putting in resources, putting in their time, putting in their money. You'll be able to have more kids. Those kids will be healthier and be able to have more kids, right? But because we have this oversupply of successful women and we've shrunk the fertility window, there's this crazy scramble in the early 30s. So the height of female fertility is the age of 20. It hovers about there for a decade or so. At 30, it falls down a hill. At 35, it falls off a cliff. Despite what you hear about celebrities having babies well into their 40s and 50s, they're using amazing medical interventions or surrogates, etc. All fine decisions. But if you want to have a baby yourself, biologically, when it's timed, you're going to want to have it before the age of 35. And so women are using their entire 20s on education and career building, and then looking around. And as I said, for age of first-time marriage for men is 28. So that means at the age of 28, half the men are off the mating market and women are figuring things out, right? And that's that scramble. So your choice of romantic mate and finding a safe one is better the earlier you choose, just by basic statistics and data, because you'll have more of a selection to choose from and you'll have a longer runway for assessing those people. Now, this couple that I want to talk about, Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie, why am I talking about them? They don't fall in with any of these statistics. They met in high school, in fact. They were young lovers. You know why I'm talking about them? Because our media is racist. And me too, by keeping this up. Remember last summer, there was something we talked about a lot called Black Lives Matter and how we need to put our actions where our mouth is. I want to remind you that the only reason that Gabby Petito is the number one story in America right now is because she has blonde hair and good teeth. The truth is, Black women go missing every day. Latino girls go missing every day. Do they become the top of the news cycle? No. And if you want an example of how, and I think some of this is unconscious, so that's why I want to like raise the flag and go, hey, 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 let's pay attention to why we're talking about this. When my daughters, if you're new to my show, my daughters are biracial, African-American and me. I'm Irish-Canadian, but they came out fairly dark-skinned because their dad is Black. I mean Black. And so I would take them. We had courtside seats to the WNBA, to the LA Sparks. And when they were little girls, I would always take them out, dress them up, make their hair pretty, little dresses, and we'd sit courtside. And I would, you know how they do the big pictures up on the Diamond Vision there, whatever it's called, the big screen, and they'd catch people in the audience, the kiss camera, the whatever, whatever.
Jumbotron.
Jumbotron. Thank you very much. I need vocabulary, Andrew. And so they would, the cameraman would often be like down on the floor right beside us, and he'd be searching the stands and whatever. And there are my girls, cute as buttons, my little Beyoncés sitting right there. These white cameramen are not noticing. Now, I didn't care about that. Didn't matter. I didn't need my kid up on the big screen. Except one day, we brought Leola. Leola had long blonde hair and blue eyes, and she was 5 years old. She was up on the Jumbotron half the game. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Every single game, my gorgeous daughters are there. I bring one blonde one time, and the guy's eyes just keep going over there. The cameraman. Because they're trying to find cute kids to put up on the screen. And I'm like, okay. So this racism is so implicit. It's so unconscious. We need to watch ourselves. But having said that, I'll participate in the racism as I comment on it. How about that? I'll participate in it as I comment, because there are some love things to learn as we talk about Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie. Here's what we know. The couple met in high school on Long Island. They started dating in March of 2019. They got engaged 1 year later in July of 2020. They both had posts on their Instagram accounts about their engagement. They even lived together for a little while. And I will go into the timeline of their relationship in more detail when we come back. Now they are both missing, and perhaps Gabby's body has been found in Wyoming. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640, you have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. We are continuing with the timeline of the story of missing lovers Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie. As Andrew Caravello told you, a body has been recovered in Wyoming in Tetons, the Grand Teton area, and it resembles Gabby Petito, but we don't have forensic back yet. And we also know nothing about the potential cause for death. So I want you to pay attention to a couple things on the timeline. She was texting with her mom pretty frequently. And on October 27th, there are a bunch of texts. And basically, she believes, the mother believes they were in the Tetons. That's what she was saying. And then August 29th, so 2 days later, this is when the TikToker Miranda Baker claims that she and her boyfriend picked up Brian Laundrie as a hitchhiker. He got very nervous, freaked out, asked to be let out of the car early. Now, that's August 29th. On August 30th, her family receives their last text from Gabby Petito. They doubt that she wrote that text. The message, apparently, just read, "No service in Yosemite." That's all that went through. No service in Yosemite. Did they even get up to Yosemite? They were still back in Wyoming, over in the Tetons. Then, on September 1st, Brian Laundrie returns to the couple's North Point, Florida home, where his parents also live, with the van. No Gabby. Now, let's look at the timeline again. He was supposedly dropped off by these TikTokers on August 29th at 6 p.m. And on September 1st, 2 days later, he ends up in Florida. Is it possible in 48 hours to do that drive? Now, we're not talking about Miami down at the bottom. We're talking up near Sarasota. The truth is it is. And especially if he's in fight or flight mode, because he's barely going to be stopping to pee. This guy is going to be zooming across trying to get home to his mom. A number of things could have happened here. But I will say that I'm probably 100% right to say that his sympathetic nervous system, was in total fight or flight response. So he gets back on September 1st. September 11th, 10 days later, after not being able to get in touch with her, Petito's family, who lives in New York, reported her missing in Suffolk County, New York. Why the 10-day wait? I mean, I can't fathom this. I mean, I have a daughter who's 23. She lives on her own. We don't talk every day. We talk every few days. But her sister's in touch with her. Somebody's in touch with her. I'm getting news. I could say, hey, when did you last hear from me? And I could figure it out pretty quick if she had disappeared for 48 hours. But 10 days? 10 days after they've been constantly texting with each other? This is interesting to me. So on September 17th, after several days of Petito's family and the police pleading with Laundrie's family to cooperate with the investigation, he gets home and the first thing he does is shut up, not talk, and lawyer up. Apparently, the lawyer passed a note out the door to police. And here's why. There is no crime until a body has been found, right? There is no crime. Now, the Petito family has been instructed by police to not talk anymore about their relationship. Obviously, we don't want to taint the jury in any way. So what happened, in my opinion? So, first of all, I know why everybody's glued to the news about this. Did you know that women are the biggest consumers of true crime stories? Because women are the most vulnerable in our culture, and women are also trying to find ways to not have it happen to them. Here's my advice to sweet Gabby, who may be resting in peace right now when we get the forensic backs. We'll know. On August 12th, when they had that altercation, and they're in the middle of nowhere, so you got to understand this. Here's how domestic violence goes. Even if a woman hits a man, if he hits back, even in self-defense, she's more likely to suffer severe injuries just because of the strength a man has. Ladies, I appreciate what great shape you're in. All that core work, all that Pilates, all those, self-defense classes, those boxing classes. That's great. Lovely. But virtually every man is stronger than most every woman. Unless maybe you're Serena Williams, right? Otherwise, ladies, it's a lot of false security by taking these self-defense classes. So here she is in the middle of nowhere being left alone with a man who may or may not, we don't know, have poor impulse control and a bad temper. Or maybe she's the one with the bad temper. And he's responding in self-defense, he suddenly just pushes her a little too hard down a cliff. We don't know. But I'm telling you, if there's been a physical alteration and you're in the middle of nowhere, take the lifeline. When the cops show up, say, I want to go home. And transfer to safety. On August 12th, she should have left there. Now, I also went through their Instagrams, and there's one post where she talks about it being slippery climbing up those rocks. And she should be careful more when she's climbing the red rocks of Utah. So maybe there's a chance she slipped. We don't know. Maybe he helped her slip. We don't know. He has a post where he said, "Thank you for putting up with me in Utah." We do. Look, we don't know if she fell off a cliff and he got frightened and ran, because he's thinking now, you know, they're going to assume it was me because of this other thing that happened. We don't know if he pushed her off a cliff. We don't know if she died by falling off a cliff, because the forensics aren't back yet. We do not know the cause of death. But it does make sense that he would be frightened and run in any circumstance. It does make sense that his family would hire a lawyer, as they would want to do to protect their child. And that the lawyer would say, there's no crime till there's a body. And now there's a body. And now Brian has gone missing. Actually, he went missing before the body was found. And I actually don't think the prognosis is good for him. I think he probably felt so awful about everything that happened, no matter if it was his fault or not. I mean, I hate to say this, but I think neither of them are going to be found alive. They've been searching and searching for him, and they can't find him. Okay, enough with that. It's breaking my heart. It makes me sad. Van life. Young people. Hormones. All right, let me come back. Should prisoners be allowed to date and marry while in prison? Well, Denmark has made a landmark ruling on this one. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.